Thank you so much, and a very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. Glad to see all of you here in the house of the Lord, and may God continue to bless us as we worship Him together. Story was told of three young men from three different wealthy families, and one day they were talking about their inheritance. Each of them seemed unhappy with what their father had told them. The first one said, "My father told me that he was not going to leave me anything. I can't believe he could do this to me." The second said, "My father told me that he was going to leave only half the inheritance to me. Surely I deserve more than that." The third said, "My father told me that everything he had, he was giving it to me." The two men looked at him and asked, "Why then are you so unhappy?" "Well, my father had diabetes," said the third man. Oh, you didn't get the joke. Everything he had, he would give to his son, you know. So including that. Well, today we have a story of a man by the name of Jabez. He did not have wealthy parents. His parents had nothing for him except pain, P-A-I-N, pain. And we'll see that very shortly. Let us turn our Bibles at this time to the scripture reading that Brother Steve read earlier in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And today, we'll learn some lessons from Jabez and his prayer here. Now, first of all, let me give you a short, brief context of this prayer. The first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 1, all right, you'll find that they are all taken up with the official family tree of the Hebrew tribes, beginning with Adam and proceeding through thousands of years to Israel's return from captivity. Nine chapters of solid genealogy. Talk about boring. The long list of unfamiliar and difficult names, more than 500 of them, are likely to make even the bravest Bible student skip these chapters. If you can't sleep, read these nine chapters of genealogy. It might help. But this morning, we're not going to do that, all right? I think before I get to the end, nobody will be listening to me. Stay with me because I'm not going to read all these nine chapters of genealogy. But to say that 44 names into the chapter, beginning from 1 Chronicles 1, a story suddenly breaks through. And in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 4, I'm sorry, let me say that again. 44 names into the chapter, meaning chapter 4, a story breaks through, and we see in verse 9 a record of a person by the name of Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Something about this man, Jabez, caused the historian to pause in the list of his genealogy and switch tactics. Ah, wait a minute, he seems to interject. You just got to know something about this guy named Jabez. He stands heads and shoulders above the rest despite his circumstances. What circumstances? Well, perhaps you deal with problems caused by your background or upbringing. Or maybe you live with unchangeable circumstances that affect your life in a major way. If this is true of you, may I urge that you learn from Jabez this morning. There are three features that arrest our attention as we study this short account of Jabez. We want to consider, firstly, the man who prayed, the prayer he prayed, and the answer he received. So let's look at, first of all, the person who prayed. Verse 9 records two matters concerning the history of Jabez: his achievement of outstanding honor, and the ominous, inauspicious name given him by his mother. And his achievement was noteworthy, and I will elaborate a little bit in a short while, in the light of his adverse circumstances. Let's look at his adverse background. Jabez, as scripture tells us, means sorrow. The name means sorrow or pain. His mother bore him in sorrow, which may mean that she had a difficult birth or the circumstances of her family were distressing. How do you like your parents to name you Pain? Hello, Pain. Now, of course, there are worse names than that. I can't mention from the pulpit, right? But in the past, parents do give their children some of these ominous names that your friends will make fun of you in school, right? I know in the village where I used to live as a little boy, I have friends who I play marbles with me and cards with me, and some of them, their parents name them Atu Akau. You know, Atu, pig. Akau, dog. And many other funny names which would jar on your ears if I were to share them with you. But here is a man whose mother named him Pain. Wow. Talk about growing up, remembering that your name is a symbol of the pain and sorrow you brought the family upon your birth. That's not very good, right, for a young person growing up, do you think? Now, whatever the cause of the mother's grief and a gloomy reaction in giving him this name, it destined this boy throughout to be the symbol of her sorrow. But Jabez did not allow his circumstances to bring him down. In fact, he turned his pain into prayer. And if you feel like a victim of your circumstances, of things that you cannot control, may you follow Jabez's example this morning by turning your pain into prayer. This man, Jabez, as I mentioned earlier, was noteworthy for a few things. There was a town seemingly named after him in 1 Chronicles 2:55. And history tells us, Jewish history tells us, that his learning drew many scholars around him, that the place where he resided was named after him. And if this conjecture is true, Jabez was a reputable man of the word. And therefore, his achievement is a challenge to all who feel that they are severely restricted by an unfortunate environment or perhaps defeated by a personal handicap. Jabez's family circumstances did not stop him from outstanding honor. He was an eminent doctor in the law in those days. But the Bible, the biblical account, connects the eminence of Jabez with the fact that he was a man of prayer. And I want you to take note of this. He excelled his brothers in the realm of fellowship with God, which resulted in his excellence of character, and that's why God pointed him out in this whole list of genealogy. Jabez stood unquestionably first as a man of piety, then as an eminent doctor in the law, and so on. What was it about this man's prayer that made him stood out? Well, let's now consider his petition. His petition. And Jabez called on the name. Well, let's read together. How about that, shall we? And Jabez called. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and that thy hand, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Amen. Now, the prayer of this ordinary man is one of the most comprehensive in the Bible and shines forth like a brilliant star in the midst of a genealogical catalogue of names. And let us look at this prayer piece by piece to learn some spiritual lessons in our prayer. To whom did Jabez offer this prayer? Well, the scripture says Jabez called on the God of Israel. And you and I can view the expression God of Israel in two different ways. Firstly, the reference may be to the man Jacob who became Israel. The God, and the emphasis is of Israel. The God of Israel. Jabez well knew the story of Jacob and how God had changed him from a deceiver into a prince, and may well have believed that if God could do that for Jacob, surely he could also help Jabez. And the God who transformed Jacob into Israel, my friends, is still able to change the lives of those who will give him an opportunity to do so. And may I ask, have you given the God of Jacob an opportunity to show what he can do with your life? May God help us. The other sense in which we can make of the God of Israel is that Jabez thought of him as the God of the nation of Israel. And being a member of that covenant nation, Jabez could call upon the God of Israel in full assurance of faith that he would receive an audience with God. So he had ample reasons to call upon his God with confidence as well as assurance. And we too, who have been brought near to God through the new covenant established by the blood of Christ, can call upon our God in full assurance of access to him, as Hebrews 4:16 reminds us. How did Jabez pray this prayer? Well, in Hebrew, the prayer of Jabez is actually expressed in the form of an unfinished vow to God. And let me once again flesh this prayer to explain. He said, "If thou wilt bless me indeed and enlarge my cause and thy hand be with me, and thou wilt keep me from evil, that it will not grieve me." There are more in this prayer vow which has been left out in the record of God's word for reasons known to God. So the sentence remains unfinished. Only his petitions are recorded, while that which Jabez intended to vow to God remains unstated. Now, the Bible do talk about vows, but I'm not going to elaborate on vows today, except to say this word of caution. Scripture reminds us not to be hasty to make our vows before God. All right, do not be hasty to make your vows. And if you did make a vow to God, Scripture reminds us to be sure to fulfill it. Don't vow and don't pay your vows. God will hold you to it. So be careful before you utter prayer vows. Now, Jabez was very explicit in his petitions here. He gave expression in his prayer to four distinct petitions. Let's look at these four distinct petitions of Jabez. Firstly, he asked for grace. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Jabez ardently desired a definite personal blessing from his God. He says, bless me indeed. And these words carry an intensive force in the original. He was not content with a vague feeling of general well-being. He wanted to experience the divine blessing in a definite personal way. And my friends, do you feel like your spiritual life is dry and stagnated? If so, you need to pray that God will bless you and bring a new fire in your soul, a new passion for God, a new zeal for serving Him, a new desire to have your life be a blessing to others. So Jabez realized that all true blessings come from God, and he ardently desired one from himself, for himself. So he prayed for grace. Secondly, he prayed for growth. He said, "Enlarge my course or border." Now, the setting may be viewed of this petition, it may be viewed in two different ways. Firstly, Jabez may be thought of as preparing to wrest more of the promised land from the Canaanites. The Lord reminded Joshua shortly before his death that there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Thus, Jabez may be pictured as asking God to give him more of that which he had promised to his people. So, enlarge my cause, right? Secondly, Jabez may be viewed as asking God to enable him to restore the fortunes of his family in Israel as he seeks to repossess all of the land given to his family by divine allotment. If so, he is seeking to repair the failures of the past within the family circle and to renew the hopes of the rising generation for the future. Now, under either view, Jabez cannot be charged with selfishness in asking for divine enlargement. He rightly desired to possess more of that which God had intended for his people to have. And that is the covenant God promised with Abraham, the land, the promised land. I want to share a little illustration before I go on to the third point about a man called William Blackstone. When William Blackstone was a man in the prime of his life, he exclaimed in prayer to God, he says, "Oh, that God would give me $1 million. I would use every penny for the evangelization of the world." The Lord knew that by training and experience, that William was competent to administer such enormous funds. He also knew that Blackstone could be entrusted with such wealth. So the Lord therefore providentially placed in his hands not 1 million, not 2 million. The Lord gave him $5 million for evangelization purposes. And William Blackstone was faithful as a trustee of this fund, and many souls came to know the Lord because he prayed, "As did Jabez of old, enlarge my cause." As we go forward as a church, I think our budget should not be just focused inward. Yes, it's good where certain problems arise, like space issue. I always take space issue as a good problem of the church because it means that people are coming, right? The church is growing in numbers. And that is a good problem to resolve. And we have to expand our facilities to accommodate more people. That's a good problem, all right? And so we have renovation done. We plan for extension of our wings and so on. I hope one day we'll see that as God begins to bless us and enlarge our coast as a church. But I think we should also be challenged to increase the budget for missions, to reach out to the lost. I said that there are certain indications of a healthy and spiritually vibrant church, right? The attendance at the prayer meeting is one primary indicator. The worship attendance on Sunday is another primary indicator. And the giving is a third. The giving of the tithes and offering for the work of the Lord is another primary indicator. And I think one of the very good signs in the giving would be a growing percentage being budgeted just for missions. And in the days ahead, we need to take a good look at that and grow that budget for missions and challenge our people to give more. Now, I won't talk about giving today, so I'll stop there and move on. Perhaps it's time for you and I to pray like Jabez. Jabez was not content to be in a spiritual rut. Are you? Are you complacent in your Christian life? Are you content just to be where you are right now spiritually? Maybe some of you need to get out of your comfort zone in serving God and stop limiting him. Instead of saying, "I can't do this, oh God, I can't do that, oh God," say, as Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, if God gives you a task to do, beloved, he will enable you to do it. And you can be assured about that. So let us stop limiting him and let us get out of our comfort zone and come forward to serve. New Life has many needs. I'm not sure as a member whether you know these needs or not. I hope you do. But if you don't, I hope you will see and realize the needs and come forward to serve. In our prayer focus, we've been praying for months now for the need of more teachers in our Sunday school. And we are still praying. Isn't it? We need you to come forward. Put feet to your prayers. If you can volunteer, do it. Don't wait for somebody else. Remember, I told you that there are three types of people in a church. Firstly, there are those who wait for things to happen. Then there's another group of people who make things happen. Let's be that second group. People who make things happen. All right? Don't wait for things to happen. And don't be in the third group either, which is a group of people who don't know what happened. Oh, I don't know. Is there this? No, I don't know whether there's Sunday school. I don't know this, I don't know that. If you don't know, go find out, right? Ask. You know, we men have a certain ego in us. Huh? We don't like to ask, even when we get lost, when we are traveling. So hard for a man to go and ask somebody, you know, some directions, isn't it? But my father always tell me, when we were young, you know, the road is in people's mouth. I don't know how to put that in Hokkien. Law. Okay, my Hokkien is terrible. I won't try. I think Pastor Lim can say that better. The road, you know, direction, road is in people's mouth. Ask. Just ask. But of course, we need to double check today, yeah? There are a lot of people that I ask, pointing me to certain direction. You ask a different person, you say, go the other way. How can two person give you direction in opposite ways? So sometimes you'll be careful who you ask. But when you ask God, you can be sure He knows what He is doing. So he prayed for grace, secondly for growth, and thirdly, he prayed for guidance, and that thy hand might be with me. The hand of God here denotes his guiding presence as well as his empowerment. Jabez knew that God must lead him, but he also realized his need of the manifestation of God's power in his behalf. And so his petition was a confession of his own weakness. Now, this is an eminent doctor of law, but he is confessing he is weak. When he looked at himself, he felt helpless to achieve his goal. And he turned his eyes to the Almighty One who can lead, guide, and empower him. Now, in application for us, the secret of empowerment in the Christian life, Christian living, and service is to be found in continued abiding in Christ. The Lord Jesus told his disciples in John 15:5, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know, in our church here, we have many gifted and talented people. Many men and women too, who are, in terms of the world, men and women of success. But all our talents, all our gifts, all our intellect is nothing when it comes to spiritual battle. Yes. No matter how well you can strategize and plan and organize, you and I are no match for our spiritual enemy. He has been around for centuries before us. We are no match for him. There's only one who is a match for our adversary, and that is our Almighty God. And that is why we need to get on our knees. We need to march and serve on our knees as a church. So, my beloved friends, begin to pray for the hand of God to be upon your life as you live and serve him in this world and through this church. that you can accomplish something great for him. And may it be something so great that when it come to pass, you and everyone else will have to say, this had to be the hand of God, because there's no way I can do this. Yes, pray for something so difficult and great that only God can do through you. So he prayed for grace, for growth, for guidance, and finally, in his fourth petition, he prayed for guardianship. He said that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So Jabez further asked to be kept from evil because he knew and feared its sorrowful consequences. Jabez realized that left to himself, he would inevitably succumb to the power of evil. So he wanted to be protected from the harm of evil, but he also wanted to be kept from sinning, because he knew that sin causes pain. His name is called Pain already, but he doesn't want his sinning against God to bring pain to the people around him. Sin brings pain into the life of the person who commits it. Sin brings pain into the lives of those whom the sin was committed against. But most of all, sin grieves God Almighty. Sin grieves God Almighty. And it will strip you and me of God's blessings and destroy our effectiveness in service. And so he prayed for guardianship against sin and evil. The prayer is very short, and in verse 10, he had his answer. And God granted him, the Bible says, that which he requested. So Jabez received what he asked for. And this answer is evidence that his prayer was in the will of God for him. As we memorize in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The fulfillment of Jabez's petitions was not due to fortuitous circumstances. The God of Jabez was at work in shaping the outcome. And Jabez's experience confirmed that prayer out of a true heart, according to God's will, receives God's answer. Let me end with a quote from a man by the name of Eliezer Hickok. I quote, "I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know that he has given his word, which tells me prayer is always heard and will be answered soon or late. And so I pray and calmly wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the way I thought, but leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own, assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed." May we have such confidence in our God. God answers prayer. My dear friends and beloved, if you could ask God to bless you in some way this morning, what would it be? If you could ask God to bless you in some way this morning, what would it be? And may I ask, in what way are you limiting what God wants to do through you? will you remove that barrier? And will you, like Jabez, rise above your circumstances? Don't be a victim of your circumstance, because we serve a great God like Jabez. Will you this morning turn your pain into prayer? Can we not make Jabez's prayer our prayer for New Life BP Church? Oops, sorry. Going forward, as a church, we need God's grace. Let us continue to pray that He will revive us and restore our first love to Christ. Let us pray for growth, growth in likeness to Christ, growth in numbers, numbers of new converts, growth in our tithes and our offerings, so that we can do more for the kingdom of God as a church. They say a church grows in several ways. One, by transfer. And I think in the last exercise of church addition to our membership, you have seen many, many transfers to our church membership, right? That's one way of growth. Another way of growth they say is biological. Biological growth, you who are married, give birth to children and more children and add to the church, you see, biological. But the one that I think I will be very excited about, and I hope you will be, is growth by conversion. As we reach out to unsaved souls, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, and people we meet, and God begin to touch their hearts with the gospel we share, and they get saved, and they are converted from whatever they believe in to Christ. That's conversion growth. And I hope we'll see more of this in the days ahead. Let's pray for growth. God is interested in growth, my friends, but only a healthy church will grow, right? If we are sick spiritually, if we are cancer, even in the physical body, it affects our growth physically. The same in the spiritual realm. So may God help us to be a healthy, vibrant church, and growth will become something natural as a result of that. So let's pray for grace for our church for growth. And thirdly, let's pray for God's guidance, His leading. Let's pray that God will show us His 3-year plan for the church as the leaders put their hearts and their minds together to plan out a short, long-term plan for 3 years. And that God grant us a vision for the future ahead as a church. And fourthly, let's pray for guardianship, that God will protect us from sin and evil. And so in closing, may I request you to join me as we close with Jabez's prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, oh, that you would bless me, bless us indeed, and enlarge our border, and that your hand may be with us, and that you would keep us from harm, that you would not pain us. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.